Okay, so we promised a quick review of what we learned so far this year. We've had eight different shiurim and two groups of four. We'll just review what we did quickly. The first group of four, we were talking about trees. We started with the halacha of someone who wants to plant a tree in his yard. Next door there's a well, and eventually the roots are going to go and damage that well. That was the classic machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rav Yossi. Tanakhama holds you can stop that person from planting the tree because it's going to damage the well. Rav Yossi says al hanis b'lahachach yasatzmo. Way the Chazon Ish explains it in the Sivas, when you have conflicts between two neighbors, there's always have conflicts, they're differing interests. So if the damage is not going to be a direct, immediate damage, the Nizik has to distance himself and prevent the damage from happening. Let him move as well somewhere else. That was the first halacha that we learned, because the roots are going to be later. What my action was planting a tree, the tree's not going to cause any damage. The roots are going to later cause damage. It's up to the Nizik to move away. The second shiur, we said the same thing applies in a tree hanging over the street, over a sidewalk. The Mishnah says if it's in the way of a camel rider with his rider, there's a right for the people to cut off the branches that are in the way to go through. And we said it could be that there could even be a nimish or sadin, or maybe even a chiyuv for the owner in that case, where it has to do with the rabbin. It could be it's worse in that case, and he has to take care of it, not just that the other people can take care of it. We then digressed a little bit and talked about who owns the fruits that are overhanging the other property. So there we saw, even though the Gemara says that the fruits are divided but among the two owners, either you cut it evenly or horizontally or vertically, but we said that's all talking where the roots were going in the middle on the border. But if the roots are going, well, if the trunk is emerging out of one person's property, that's where Moshe puts it, you go by where the trunk's coming out of. So that person owns the fruits, even though the fruits are overhanging the other person's yard or over the street, he still has rights to the fruits. We said maybe there's a case of yiyush, but in general, he owns the fruits. Finally, we introduced the concept of giri delei in a case where a person was planting tall palm trees next to a neighbor who had vineyards, and by planting those trees, it attracts birds that will then attack the vineyards. So there we said, since the person will commonly push the birds away when he sees them on his trees, it'll be like giri delei. That's the way the Rosh understood it, and that is prohibited to plant the tree, even though normally it's the nizik has to take care of himself, but you as a mazik can't shoot arrows at him. And that was our first case of shooting arrows, where you plant a tree that is going to directly attract the birds that you're going to push next door, or as you plant the tree the birds might come, like we saw last week. That might be a way of understanding it. It's machlokes v'shonim. We then moved on to water damage, and we first spoke about a leaky floor in a bathroom, and we once again had the typical halacha of Rav Yossi al hanizik l'hachach es atzmo in a case where the water doesn't go directly down, where the water gets absorbed first in the floor or in the rafters and then it drips down. So then we have the law al hanizik l'hachach es atzmo, and you can continue taking your showers upstairs, and the person downstairs will have to collect the water in buckets until he decides to repair the jointly owned ceiling and floor. We then talked about the next 3 weeks. We said three exceptions to those halachas. Right, by the way, in that halacha of the shower, if the hole was directly below where you're using the water, so then that's giri delei. Right? That's where we said that there was a difference. If it gets absorbed first and then drips, that's called al hanizik l'hachach es atzmo. If the water goes straight down, the hole's right where you're using the water, so that's called giri delei. That's your arrows, and you have to stop. Right? That's what we said in shiur number 5. We then had three exceptions in the three consecutive weeks. The first exception was we talked about rainwater. The Rivasha Shita was that if you have not a leaky floor but a leaky drain pipe, that from that the rainwater goes and drips downstairs into the basement which is owned by another person. So in that case, you don't own the rainwater. It's not your arrows. Even if the water goes straight down into that basement from your drain pipe, but that's not your arrows. It was the rain made the water go down. We said it could be the minig is that you have to fix it. If you actually own the drain pipe, that could be the minig. But we said in a case where two people bought a house from a contractor, one person bought the top floor, one person bought the bottom floor, and there was a faulty drain, a faulty gutter, it would certainly be the contractor's responsibility to fix it. If he runs away, he skips town, and he's not around to get payment from. So in that case, the person living downstairs has no right to force the person upstairs to fix it, because the person upstairs didn't do anything wrong. It's not water that he's using that's going downstairs. It's rainwater that's just dripping downstairs. That's not his responsibility. That was one exception. Then we said exceptions the other way. We next talked about leaky plumbing. Leaky plumbing means that from my pipes upstairs, there's a constant drip going downstairs. And in that case, we said if there's three conditions met, the mazik has to cease and desist his actions. Those three conditions where it's causing great damage downstairs, it's where the person lives. Right? We brought the Rush's example of someone building digging a hole in his backyard, collecting rainwater, which overflows and floods the person's next door cellar. So the person in that cellar lives, he needs a cellar for his house. It's a normal use of his house, which he can't use right now. And it's expensive to fix. You can't expect him to fix it. So once again, it's something that's his normal living space is getting ruined. Number two, it's an expensive job to fix, like in the plumbing, it's expensive to fix the plumbing. And number three, the person upstairs is living in an unusual way. It's unusual to live in a way that your plumbing is leaking. If you live downstairs, you wouldn't keep it like that. So in those three conditions, the matik has to cease and desist his actions. He's not allowed to take a shower until he fixes his plumbing that is causing damage downstairs or next door. And finally, last week, we said the other exception was a misdirected drain pipe, misdirected extension from a gutter or a sump pump that's shooting next door. So there we said different svaras. The Rashba had three svaras why you should be usher to do it. One was because he holds rainwater you own. That we saw the Rebush disagrees with that. But the other two reasons were accepted by the Shulchan Aruch, and they are that it's not a normal use to have when Rav Yossi says the Nizik has to distance himself, that's when I'm the Mazik and doing a normal use. But it's not a normal use to have your drain pipe aiming next door. You're not using that water, you're just directing a Hezek as an arrow. You're shooting arrows next door. That was one Svara, and the other Svara, it was like the case of the ladder, that since when you put up the drain pipe like that, it could immediately rain next door. That's like the case of putting up a ladder next to someone's doves, where immediately that Nemiya could jump beneath the doves, and that's called Giray Delay. And that's what we're up to right now. We're finished right now for trees. We're finished with rainwater. We're going to start a whole new issue between neighbors, and that is bad smells. The case we'll talk about, the case that I emailed, is someone has garbage cans and they smell. And where they put them here, it's not such a prevalent problem because you have big yards, but in certain neighborhoods and cities, you live right on top of each other. You put your garbage cans in the backyard, and the next door is Dalai Lama's away. He's right there. Can the neighbor, or you're the one being damaged, you have a right to force him to get better garbage cans or not use such smelly things, eat better, or get a garbage disposal? Can you do something to force him to stop putting the smelly garbage outside? Maybe more typical in our neighborhoods would be a case where someone decides to plant a garden in his backyard, and he wants the plants to grow really well, and he buys the freshest fertilizer he could find, and it disturbs the next door neighbor because it doesn't smell so good either. Another case I saw in one of the contemporary Svarim is in Eretz Yisrael. There was a case there where someone built a factory, and that factory gave off smells. Like if you drive a Reisertown Road, it smells like a heavy vinegar smell, and there's some factory over there smells really bad. So if you're living there, you wouldn't want to live there. Can you stop them from putting that factory? If you go up Staten Island and you have a landfill, can you stop them from putting a landfill in your backyard? Or at the Gothels, the gas refineries, all these different smells, do you have a right as a resident of a neighborhood to stop these smells from coming in. That's tonight's topic. Right, so right now we're talking about universal bad smells. Next week, we'll be talking about smoke. Damage that comes from smoke. We'll see the studio soon that talks about smoke. And then we'll talk about issues where it's not really bad, but to that person, he's allergic or it disturbs him. That's going to be 2 weeks from now, probably. Okay, so the post can have a problem finding a simple halacha that says you're not allowed to do something that makes a smell in your yard that could disturb your neighbor. We'll start with this Mishnah in Bava Basra, Chaf Hei Amud Aleph. Merchikim es anevelos ves hagvaros ves habursiki minohir chamishim ano. We had a little bit of this Mishnah in the past. This Mishnah talks about halach that pertain to a city. So the Mishnah says you have to keep animal carcasses. For some reason you collect them, you're using them, or graves, or a tannery, you have to keep them 50 amas away from the city. Rashi says, "Shumreach ra," these things smell bad, and you have to keep them away from the residents of the city. They shouldn't get disturbed from that odor.
Chloros smell bad?
That's what Rashi says. Rashi says, "Neveles v'kvaros, v'chulam shumreach ra." Seems like they smell bad. I don't know if they used caskets. Ain osin borski elo mizrach here. The tannery can only, even with the 50 amas away, it can only be on the east side because the wind doesn't blow so strongly from the east. Rakiva me lachoruchos chus mi marav. Rakiva says you put it in any direction if you're 50 amas away, as long as you're except for the west side, you're machir chamishim ama, 50 amas away from the town. So we have a little bit of a beginning where it says you can't do something that's going to cause a smell to a town. But the immediate question we ask is, why are we talking about a town here? Why aren't we talking about a neighbor? The other halachas in the Perek are talking about neighbors. Right, the next Mishnah Marchi is in that Mishnah Marchi. You have to put a tree away from someone's well, 25 amos away. Can't plant a tree next to someone's field that we learned about. Why are we talking about a city? We'll see another possible source of a problem with smells, and this is a real source, a clear source, but different than what we've learned until now. Rav Yosef, we don't need the whole story tonight, but we'll read it because we'll need it for the future. Rav Yosef, havelei hanu tali da havu also nevi tosayu. Rav Yosef had date palms that blood letters would sit underneath next door. You know, so he had it at the edge of his property, and it made a shade out to the next door neighbor. And that person next door was a blood letter. He would bring blood letters in under the shade and blood let people. Now, when you let out blood, blood drips on the ground, and birds like that. But also, arve achli dama, ravens would come and consume the blood. Vesulki abe tali, and then they would fly up to the palms to rest, and they ruined the dates by putting blood on them. So Amr of Yossi said to these blood letters next door, get this crowing out of here. Do your bloodletting somewhere else. So Shaila in the Rishonah, what his issue was it that he didn't like the noise of the crowing, like the Gemara's Mashma, or was it that he didn't like his dates getting damaged? But either way, he wanted them out. So in that, the Gemara asked, they had a chazaka. So why can't they stay? I'm sorry, something's missing here. Amalei Abaye. So Abaye said to him, "Pogromahu." It's only a groma. What's the problem? It's only causative damage. It's not real damage. He's not shooting arrows. It's just bloodletting it from that. The birds come and cause damage, either make noise. So why should there be a problem? So Amar Abtuvi Bar Masna, so Abtuvi Bar Masna answered. He answered them, "Halchi Amar Abtuvi Bar Masna." This is what Abtuvi Bar Masna said. Zosamer, he said, "If you're a groma, then it's an osir. It's osir to even cause the hazard. It might not be chayiv and besin if you do it, but it's osir to cause a besin." So now the question is, "Back the Gemara, but they've been there for 3 years. and all of a sudden Rav Yosef raises a fuss. Why didn't he say anything until now? We have a law that if you do something for 3 years, it's a proof that you had the right, you purchased the right to do that. So on that thing, our answer is Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avua, Ain Chazaka Lenezikin, there's no Chazaka for damages. If I'm causing damage to someone, we can't say, well, I've been doing it for 3 years, so it must be that he sold me the rights. There's no such thing as a Chazaka for damages. In fact, the Gemara and Abayi asked, "Velavit Mar Allah." But didn't we learn about that? Ramari Yomar Bekutra. Ramari says that only applies to smoke damage. Then some smoke is something people can't stand. If even if the other person's been there for 3 years, we cannot assume that he sold him the right to do that. And Rav Zvid Amar Beveis Hakisei. Rav Zvid said that's talking where someone put an outhouse next door. Even if he's been there 3 years, we don't assume that he sold him the right to, that the other person sold the right to be there. And to that, Rabbi Yosef said, Amalei, why am I complaining about these birds? Hani lididan ino taitoi. These birds, to me, that are causing this damage, that are causing it, I'm delicate. It disturbs me. Kikutave sakisa damali, to me, it's like a smoke and an outhouse. From there, we're going to talk about in the future weeks about this issue of personal pain. But let's leave that aside for now. And from this we see halacha in the Gemara that if I put an outhouse in my backyard, even though if I do other things that might be prohibited, like we said, different things we talked about, if I'm doing things that might be giri delay, which we said are aser, but if I've been doing it for 3 years, we can assume that I had the right to do it from the neighbor and he can't stop me. But if it's something like smoke damage, which we'll talk about next week, or an outhouse, a smell of an outhouse, that is something that I have no chazaka on, and of course the neighbor can stop me from doing it, even if I've been doing it for these past 3 years. Right, so this is a clear halacha that I can cause a very bad smell to my neighbor. Right, so of course the Beis HaKisei is an example of probably the worst smell possible. So we have to see how that applies to other smells, how far this goes. What are other examples that we see are usher as a heavy smell? Now once again, all we see here is in a case of this such a heavy smell, so in that case, even if you have a chazaka, I can stop you. We're going to learn there are cases that the smell is not so heavy, where we can assume that you have a chazaka. The question we'll talk about next week is, can I at least stop you from doing that? That we'll say for next week. Let's just see now what the definition of a heavy smell is, where I certainly, as a neighbor, can stop you from doing it. The Chiddush Eran says here on the spot, Nirin Hadvarin, it seems from here, it stam seems, Shekol sheyesh la reyach ra, anything that has a bad smell, she'ein darkam shevenei odin lesovlo, that normal people can't stand that smell. There's no chazaka. If it's any smell, this is the definition, any smell that people cannot stand, that it's the derech of people not to be able to solve it. They can't stand such a smell. When we're faced with something like that, there's no chazaka, and certainly the neighbor can prevent it. What are some examples? There's a shiloh the Rush had, that some butchers moved in next door to Reuven, and they were selling their meats there, slaughtering, I don't know if they're slaughtering, they were trabering them, they were cutting them there, and that meat, the byproduct that they were throwing away, started smelling. They were taking off the skin, and you had the raw meat out there was smelling, and dogs and pigs came in there, and Reuven said, I want this out of here. This is something that's disturbing me. So the Rosh Paskin, that is something that is certainly like a Kutra Beis HaKisei. That's like a Beis HaKisei. And he can stop ruining his right and forcing them to close down that butcher business. So once again, even if it was there for a few years, he can still stop it. And the Kessel Kadoshim brings another example. There was someone was making chaylev, making fats. I don't know, tubs sounds like candles with bats. He was using them, and they also start smelling very badly after a while. So he said, let's bring in experts. If the experts should come in to see if that's like kutu v'sakisi, if that is such a snow. By the way, he says an interesting yisod. I don't think anyone will say that, but he says this whole issue that we're talking about smells is only when you put something in your backyard that causes immediate smell, because we have to go back to the rules we talked about, giray delay. It has to be your arrows. If you put something in the backyard and you know it's, takes months before it you know it causes some smell later, so that would be not giray delay, possibly based on the way we understood the Marachar's rule. This could be that that would be called giray delay, because as soon as they put the dead rat over there, it's going to start smelling in a few days, so that could be giray delay. But if it's in a way that's not direct, the Ketz Kodoshim says we'll have the rules of giray delay here. But anyway, that's another possible example. Diane Weiss had a shaila that they had started a catering business next to a shul, and usually catering smells good, I guess. He talks that there were hundreds of portions cooked every day, and after a while it starts smelling over there, either from the waste or from just the constant cooking was causing problems in the shul. And he said that that's a, that is a proper taina, that's magia sham reach rau muupash the kotzba, it's so bad that you can't even say kriya shema there. So he said also they have the right to close down that stop that smell from happening to the shul in the shul. Finally, the Dar Kichoshim I spoke about, he was talking about the case of the factory, and he said that they wanted to put a factory, a glue factory, or some other type of food factory there, that there was, the neighbors said that it's really a bad smell. So they said that, he said that they had the right, that that's a good time. It's called Beis HaKiseh, it's a smell of a Beis HaKiseh. It's also a smell that people can't stand, and the Mela, they have a right to stop it. Now, these are just examples where the smell is so bad, there's no chazaka, you can certainly close it down. How about if the smell is not so bad? So we had this first mission that we spoke about, where we talked about nevelos and varos, borsiki, and it said you can't put it near the city. And we asked, why is it saying not only not near the city? How about near your neighbor? Why isn't it worried about the neighbor? The Chazon Ish has the kasha. And he wants to say, you're right, maybe it's huadin that it applies to a single neighbor also, but the reason it said city, because it wants to tell you the halacha about trees, that we learned that you're not allowed to put trees too close to a city because it spoils the looks of the city, and that doesn't apply inside. So that's why it says the whole thing about a city. But he's not sure. He says maybe it's telling you that a single person doesn't have the right to be to protest a bad smell coming in. It's not something, right, what's the svara? Because a smell, it's not like we're talking until now where it damages a person's property. It stops him from using it. Here it just smells bad. So, you know, put a clothespin on your nose. It's not something that's really damaged. It's not a monetary damage. It's not stopping you from doing what I need to do. So he says it could be, if you're talking about a whole city, so then we'll stop you. But if it's just one person, private person, that's not enough reason to stop someone from doing what he needs to do in his house. Rav Moshe clearly says that this mishnah is only telling you it's also because it's a hezek derabim. If it'd be a single person, he wouldn't be able to protest it. Right? So we already see there's like some limits over here, that it has to be a really bad smell. If it smells like a nevela, even though we did seem to see that butchers, you can stop, I guess the smell of butchers, according to Rav Moshe, is worse than the smell of a nevela. For some reason, I don't know what he does with that Shuvas Harash. But anyway, that's the rules are, the applications, you have to ask a Shaila, but the rules are, if the smell is very bad, that if someone can't sobel it, that there's no chazaka, you can certainly stop it. If it's not so bad, so then there's certain things that you have to keep away from a city, but from a private individual, he can't stop that. This Darkei Mishpat brings from Nissen Karelitz that certainly you don't have to have like a terrible, terrible smell like a mamash like a bathroom. The other cases also are bad smells. But he says that if it's just that it's unpleasant, and I would think that would be the case of the vinegar smell up Rice's Town Road, you know, it's not pleasant, it not really disturbing. It's not like a bathroom smell. It's not like a rotten, rotted dead body of an animal. Right? It's not a dead elephant or something. It's it's vinegar. It doesn't smell so good. You don't like vinegar. Most people don't like what the vinegar smells like. So he says, if it's his lashon, it's rak eino noach, just not pleasant to the person that smells it. That's not called a hezek. We're talking about a hezek, something that causes damage. It causes me tsar, it causes me pain. I just said how it's not so bad, like it doesn't cause me monetary damage, but it's causing me physical pain. It causes me physical anguish to have to smell something that's really disgusting. That's tsar, that really bothers me. That's something I can protest. If it's something that people just don't like, they prefer not to smell vinegar, they prefer not to smell certain spices from the spice factory, it burns their nose. But it's something that's not so nice, not so pleasant. That's not quite a hezek, right? Once again, they all post can say here up to, it's really up to the dayan, and they say it's not up to civil standards. They might have different rules. Our rules are it has to be something that ein hadas of loss, something that people cannot be sovel. That is something we can shut down. If it's just something that's not pleasant, that we can't shut down. Now there's a further issue of how strong, let's admit that it's a bad smell. It's a bathroom smell. It's animal carcass smell that you can shut down. But it's, how far away does it have to be for me to say that, I'm sorry, it's a little bit too weak. Why is it disturbing you? It's, I'm three blocks away and you smell it. How far away do I have to go? So Chazanish has a lashon like this. Let's read it inside because it seems to be a shaila what he means. Chazanish says, Baba Basa, Simen Yod Gimel, Sif Yod Beis, he says like this, V'nira, Dehaine Dafka Ba'ofen De'iko Reach Ha'Oser Likros Kriyashana. We're only talking about a smell that would make it Oser to say Shema where you are. Ukadisa Ba'Rachayim Simen Pei Gimel, like it says in Arachayim Hilchos Kriyashana, a type of smell that would make it Oser for you to daven. Avo Hani Batik Kisos, Hamizkar Shon Siv Dalet, but if you have the type of bathrooms that are mentioned over there in Siv Dalet, which are our type of bathrooms where the waste doesn't just sit there, it goes under in pipes. The Mutalikras Kriya Shema Kenegdan, where it's permitted to read Kriya Shema, even though there was a bathroom there, who I didn't any Yochalimchas, you certainly can't protest if someone built one like that in his house. Bafagav, or an outhouse. Bafagav them in the Kudus Harufua, even though health wise, Avir Yoser Tzach Yoser Bari, the clearer the air is, the healthier it is. Umetzias Beis Hakisei Pogemis Kitzas Tzachas HaAvir, and the fact that there's a bathroom there makes the air a little bit less clear and the male a little bit less healthy. Ein Zebekal Nitzkei Shechem, that's not something that's damage of neighbors. The Chol Adam, and he brings a proof. The Chol Adam, any person, the Shemasavat Yishosov, when he breathes and when he sneezes, Ma'arvin Edi Pechem Ba'avir, he's mixed in there are different germs, different things from the air that are entering his nostrils, different odors that are going in there anyway, different types of problems, and we breathe the air. So that's not called Nizkei Shechena. So that's what the Chazanish is saying. We're talking about something that's bad enough that would make it also to be Kriya Shema. But if it's something that you'd be mutter to daven there, so the fact that the air quality isn't as good, that's not a complaint that you could register. Now, he would seem to be saying, well, it's only talking something like a bathroom, but if it'd be something that's strong but not a bathroom, it'd be okay. But the contemporary Achronim understand that he's agreeing with what we said before. Anything that's a very bad smell that people don't like, you can stop. He's talking about, like we said, how far, how strong does that smell have to be? The way Mishkan Shalom puts it is, it has to be strong enough, it's close enough where it's so strong people can't be sovel it the way it is. But if it's so far away where even though they smell it, but it wouldn't make an oser to be Kriya Shema, because you could be far away from a bathroom and know that there's a bathroom there, you have a little bit of a smell, but it doesn't make it oser, it's not so bad. So at that point, it's okay. Darkei Mishvat says, the Chazanish doesn't mean that. Chazanish ish means there can't be any smell at all. If someone wants to make a glue factory, he has to be so far enough away from the neighbors that they can't smell it at all. If they smell it a little bit, they have a legitimate complaint. And he brings the Rayas because what the Chazanish said, even though bathrooms, they make the air quality a little less healthy, but that's not in this case Shechinim. It's mashma, there's no smell at all. He didn't say even though there's still some smell there. He said even though, well, the air is has less quality to it. Not that the smell is still there. So he understands the Chazanish says you have to remove all the smell completely. There can't be any smell left there. You have to be far enough away where you don't cause any smell to the neighbors. What we're saying is that even though there might be some change in the air quality, that's not a taina. I mean, if it really makes it unhealthy where people will get sick, you know, it's a nuclear reactor or something that doesn't go by smell anymore, then it depends, is it causing harm? Right? That certainly would be something that you could stop if it's an unhealthy smell, something that they discover is unhealthy. Anything, a cell phone tower, you know, if they find that that's unhealthy, so that would be something you could stop. We're not talking about things that are causing sakonis nefashis. We're talking about things that make people tsar. It's uncomfortable. Now, the Rashdam had a shaila in his days that people were in the business of making dyes, cooking dyes to dye wool, and they smell very bad. That's what they used to do. And someone complained that the next door neighbor was storing his dyes right next door and is disturbing him, and it really smells bad, like a Beis HaKise. It fits in that category. So he says a lashon like this. He says, Didon, nowadays to us, Mar Hashem lived many years ago, so we're talking a few hundred years ago, Didon, Shonim Urgolin Bahem. We're used to that, because his town, that was what they did for their living. Everyone made dyes over there. So we got used to it. To us, Einu Reach Ra. That's not called a bad smell. I call that smell Vereach Samosaya Kereach Levanon. It's like the smell of cedar trees, because we're so used to it. You know, what one person's bad odor is, another person, it's his perfume. So that's his first taina. If it's something that everyone gets used to, everyone's used to this smell, you can't all of a sudden say, look, you've been living here 30 years with such a smell, now it bothers you. That's Kereach Levanon. And then he says further, and this we'll see other people bring. This is what our city makes its parnasa with. Everyone is known in this, I forgot the name of the town he was saying, where the Shiloh came from, but in that town, that's what the parnasa was. They were in a place where they had the raw materials to make the dyes. Everyone made the dyes, they had their customers, and that's what everyone does. The Eshav al Avchachi, and it's impossible to live without these dyes that we make. So the Chazanish has a similar halacha. He says, suppose nowadays I wanted to tell my neighbor that I don't want you building and you're making an addition. You put another bathroom in your house, and I complain. You know, the bathroom's facing my yard, and when you open the window, I'm going to smell your bathroom. Right? Is that a time of a Beis HaKise? So the Chazanish says, so nowadays there's no option. You know, a person needs to have a bathroom in his house, and if he needs another one, I guess he needs another one. Certainly if it's his first one, you can't say build your bathroom outside the city like everyone else does, because nowadays no one does it. Everyone has a bathroom in their house. That's number one. And besides the fact that our bathrooms are like a Beis HaKise de Parsoi, our bathrooms are with plumbing, and it's not like the old time bathrooms where things just stood on top of the ground over there. And it became the minhag that every house has a bathroom. So Memeila Chazanu says you certainly can't stop someone nowadays from, similar to the Maharaj Dhamma, if that's the minhag of the city, you can't stop someone from putting a bathroom in his house. The Bach has a similar halacha. He said that he calls the din of the Malchus Adina. Everyone puts the halacha, the Goyish law is that you're allowed to have bathrooms in your house. And the way the Chazanish understands it, he doesn't really mean Dina Malchus Adina, because that doesn't apply when it goes connected Das Torah. What he means is that since that's what the civil law is, everyone has bathrooms, so that's no longer a taina to say, what are you building a bathroom in your house? You should build outside the city. Everyone builds these types of bathrooms with these standards, and you can't stop them from doing that. The way the Shulchan Aruch puts it, he's talking even a place where they throw nevelas in the street. Right? If people throw nevelas in the streets, and that's what minig is. I don't know why it's such a minig, but maybe yes, they get taken away. But the streets are always smelling with carcasses, animal carcasses out there. How can you throw something into the garbage dump? You're going to make the whole area smell. But if that's the place everyone puts it, you're allowed to. Why? Because he says the people in the city are in mochel each other. Just like today, I'm putting my nevela out there. Tomorrow, you'll put your nevela out. That's the way the minig came about. There's a little bit of a svara because people are mochel each other. So that's why we have this heter to put this nevela in the street. So back to our questions that we said in the beginning. We have these rules that a very bad smell that people can't be sellable, you have no right to do, even if you've done it for years. If it's not such a bad smell, if it's a smell that just is unpleasant, but it's not putrid, it's just this unpleasant smell, so that you can't stop someone from doing. We said further, if the smell is far enough away where all it is maybe a bad air quality, but it's no smell at all, so that's certainly okay. And then further we said, if there's a certain custom that everyone does a certain thing, even though it does produce a smell, it's like Kerech Levanon maybe, or if it's a Parnos everyone does, or they're mochel each other, whatever the smell is, if it's common practice, you can't stop people. So let's talk about the garbage cans first. If I have my garbage cans outside my house, so if they're normal garbage cans, and even the best garbage cans, you know, if someone has children and they have put diapers in them, I don't think it stops all the smell from coming out. So if that's the normal way people do things, they put their garbage cans in their yard, then no one keeps the garbage cans in their house, right? I'm telling you, your garbage can smells so much, leave it in your house until the garbage comes. You know, no one does that. No one keeps garbage cans in the house. They all keep them outside, especially even if it's in a neighborhood where the houses are close together. If that's a minute, keep garbage cans outside or put them out in the hall in an apartment house until they come and collect them, and they put them in the night before, and even though it might smell the hallway up a little bit, but if that's the minig, you can't stop me from doing that, even though it might be a beis hakisa, it might be diapers out, dirty diapers in my garbage can, but that's the normal practice. You can't stop me from doing that. If my garbage cans are faulty, I don't have tops on them, and everyone else has tops on their garbage can, so then you could say, look, I don't want to live with this all week of this smell that whenever you take things out it starts rotting food and diapers and everything in your diet, and I don't want that going in my backyard. That would be a good time, because you're not doing something that's regular, and this is a smell that's disgusting. It's something that's a putrid smell, that's really something people don't live with, so that would be a taina, right? Depending on the circumstance, if the person is doing like the minig, you can't stop them. If he's doing something unusual, then you could certainly stop them. We talked about the fertilizer that the person puts in his garden that disturbs the next door neighbors. So they're also, if it's something unusual that no one does, this is, you know, you buy super duty fertilizer that only farmers use, and he's going to put it on his residential garden, which people don't do. It's made only for commercial farmers, not for residences, so then you can stop them. That's halacha. It's certainly a beis hakisa. He's putting it in his backyard. If it's something that everyone does, it's a common thing to buy such fertilizer, and doesn't say on the bag, you know, keep it at a distance from humans. There's nothing dangerous about it. It's just that it happens to smell, and it's something that everyone does. There also, we have this minig that it could be that you can't stop them. The factory could be a little bit more problematical, because it's hard to say there's a minig to open up a vinegar factory or a tire or a rubber factory, you know, in a neighborhood. So there, we have this tshuva from the Darkei Mishpat, from the Darkei Choshen, the contemporary. He was talking about factories, and from the tshuvas we saw from the Maharashtam, the Maharashtam's heter was, well, everyone does it here, that's why it's okay. But if everyone wouldn't do it okay, and you just have a residential neighborhood and someone wants to start a business that's going to cause bad smells in the neighborhood, so then, once again, that's like a beis hakisa, where even if he did it, even if he had been doing it, you would be able to stop him. And certainly if he wants to start, you can stop him from starting, because that's something that's any smell that ain't harev sublaso, that could be stopped. So this is just a hagdama for these issues or the smells. Next week we'll get into smoke, and from then we'll go talk. We've been talking about things that disturb everyone. Then we'll talk about those that just disturb this individual person. He's allergic to it, or he has a personal delicacy to his nature. It disturbs him. It doesn't disturb other people, both by smoke and by smells. And we'll continue like that.